Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to Africa Link, live from Bonn, Germany. I'm Eddie Micah Jr.
And my name is Jen Nyinge. We are also live on Facebook, DW Africa. So please head there and leave us a comment on the stories we are covering.
Coming up, short-lived celebration for Sierra Leone new president Julius Maada Bio as the loser Samura Kamara says he's headed to court.
We are challenging the results and we will be taking the appropriate legal actions to get redress and have the results overturned. Meanwhile, we implore all our numerous supporters to remain calm.
Ghana's vice president says Africa beyond aid is a must as Ghana hosts G20 compact with Africa.
Going beyond aid is an inevitable conversation, and we can choose to confront it now or postpone it at our peril.
So stick around for these stories, but as always, first, let's hear what's been happening around the world.
I'm Shay Meineke with DW News. Defeated Sierra Leone presidential candidate announced he would challenge the results of the election after his main rival Julius Maada Bio was declared winner on Thursday. Samora Kamara said on national television that the Electoral Commission did not address the issues raised by his ruling party.
Those results do not reflect the many concerns raised by the party about the massive ballot stuffing, overvoting, fraudulent voter registers. Regrettably, these concerns were neither acknowledged nor given the required attention.
According to the results, Kamara gained just 48% of the vote, while Bio won with around 52. Bio was sworn into office early Thursday morning. German Chancellor Angela Merkel on Thursday congratulated new Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed on his appointment. Abiy, who is the first member of the Oromo ethnic group to become prime minister, was sworn into office on Monday. In a press statement, Merkel said she hoped Abiy would be successful in conducting an inclusive dialogue with all political forces in the country and that she looked forward to a deepening of the traditionally close ties between Germany and Ethiopia. In Brazil, the country's top court has ruled that former President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva can be jailed, likely ending his political career and further dividing the South American country. The court made the ruling after Lula filed a plea to avoid a 12-year prison sentence, while also trying to appeal charges of corruption filed against him. Lula could be forced within 1 week to serve his sentence. This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has demanded an objective probe into the poisoning of ex-Russian spy Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia, adding that the lack of international solidarity has led to, quote, groundless expulsions of Russian diplomats from countries around the world. Speaking at a news conference, Lavrov blamed Britain for its allegedly baseless claims after it blocked Moscow's request for evidence.
It's been a while since we saw such an uncovered mockery of international law, diplomatic ethics, and basic decency. I will point out that we will continue responding adequately to unfriendly moves, but at the same time, we want to find the truth. It's unacceptable to make groundless allegations instead of presenting concrete facts and carrying out a thorough investigation.
Meanwhile, Yulia Skripal has made her first official public announcement, saying in a statement released by British police that she expects to be discharged from hospital soon and that her father, Sergei, was fine. The British hospital confirmed Yulia's recovered condition, but stated that her father remains in critical care. And now in sports, Liverpool football squad handed Manchester City a 3-0 loss last night in Champions League semi-final action, while Barcelona won, easing past Roma with a 4-1 win. Barcelona has won 26 straight Champions League home game matches. For more news and information, visit our website at dw.com. I'm Shay Meineke.
You're listening to DW's Africa Link program. My name is Jen Nyinge.
And I'm Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for tuning in and don't forget to join the discussion live on Facebook.
Yes, indeed. Now to our top story, and Sierra Leone's opposition leader Julius Maada Bio has secured his first term in office after he was declared the winner of a presidential runoff. His opponent, Samora Kamara, has said he plans to challenge the results, claiming that the poll was marred by fraud.
Now, Julius Maada Bio won with nearly 52% of the votes and was sworn in hours after the country's election body declared him winner. DW's Claudia Anthony has been following events for us in Freetown and now brings us this report.
Half of the country sees celebrating the victory of the 54-year-old President Bio, a former soldier who briefly led a military junta more than two decades ago. Bio defeated Samora Kamara, presented as a successor to outgoing President Anispai Kuroma and candidate of the ruling All People's Congress, APC, in power for a decade. More than 2 million Sierra Leoneans went to the ballot, representing 81% of all registered voters. This was how the newly sworn president was certified by the Chief Electoral Commissioner, Mohamed Mfa Ali Conte.
In exercise of the powers conferred on me as National Returning Officer, I hereby certify that Bio Julius Maada has been duly elected President of the Republic of Sierra Leone.
Less than 2 hours later, well-wishers, party supporters, the diplomatic corps, and the press witnessed Chief Justice Abdoulaye Cham administer to the oath of office, and Julius Maada Bio was sworn in as the fifth president of the Republic of Sierra Leone. In his acceptance speech, President Bio promised to work towards uniting the political divide that's threatened to hit the country. He said his administration would ensure his rule benefits all Sierra Leoneans, irrespective of their ethnic or tribal and political associations.
I am humbled by the trust and confidence that you have reposed in me to lead this great nation. From today, I'm president of and for all Sierra Leoneans.
The loser, Samora Kamara, hasn't called Bio to congratulate him, but instead says he will challenge the result in the Supreme Court. He says the poll was marred by fraud and other electoral irregularities, which his party brought to the attention of the electoral body prior to the announcement of the result.
As a responsible party, we are challenging the results, and we will be taking the appropriate legal actions to get redress and have the results overturned. Meanwhile, we implore all our numerous supporters to remain calm and maintain the peace while we pursue these legal measures.
Kamara has 7 days to petition the results at the Supreme Court of Sierra Leone.
DW's Claudia Anthony for us there in Freetown, Sierra Leone.
Mm-hmm. And indeed, Jane, a lot of comment on our Facebook page. People have been very lively on it. Well, Theresa from Sierra Leone says, "All I have to say is congratulations, Mr. President. May God give you the fearing heart." Now, the other comment from Kennedy, who's in Ghana, says, "Wow, that's beautiful for African democracy."
And Sebastian says, "A good decision for the country. Things must change."
Indeed. Now, there were many other comments, and of course, when we have time, Jane, we'll be going through them.
Absolutely. Now, Brazil's former president, Luiz Lula da Silva, has been eyeing a political comeback as the front runner in upcoming national elections, but he's likely to be in jail soon. The nation's top court has narrowly denied his request to remain free, pending an appeal for re-bribery conviction.
Now, Lula is the biggest name yet to be toppled by prosecutors in a massive anti-corruption investigation. DW's Patricia Anna has more.
After a marathon televised debate, Brazil's Supreme Court was deadlocked. Chief Justice Carmen Lucia then cast the deciding vote, rejecting Luiz Inácio da Silva's bid for freedom while his conviction is appealed. Last year, Lula was found guilty of taking bribes and sentenced to 12 years in prison. Brazilians are equally divided in opinion. Outside the court, anti-Lula protesters celebrated the court's decision. I love you, shouts one demonstrator. Others were upset by the ruling. We are really worried for the future of our democracy in our fragile country, one with a history of institutional coups and impeachments. Our democracy is weak. Lula has claimed the charges are an attempt to thwart his bid for president in October. Despite the corruption allegations, latest opinion polls show that Lula would win the election by a wide margin.
DW's Patricia Anna.
Now, moving on to more stories. Germany, as chair of the G20, led the way for a compact to be signed with African countries to assist them develop homegrown solutions towards fixing their economies. This initiative appears to be gaining ground as 8 African countries that have signed the deal so far continue to meet to discuss new strategies.
This week in Accra, Ghana, a second meeting has been held purposely to discuss revenue mobilization. Isaac Kalechi in Accra has more on this meeting and what was discussed.
This is the second time experts from the financial sector from African countries that signed the G20 compact with Africa under the leadership of Germany are meeting in Accra. The compact is to help countries like Ghana, Ivory Coast, Egypt, and 5 others to mobilize resources from within to develop their economies. Ghana's Vice President Dr. Mahamadou Bawumia talks about weaning African economies of foreign aid.
Going beyond aid is an inevitable conversation, and we can choose to confront it now or postpone it at our peril. First and most obvious is to enhance domestic revenue mobilization, and we must do so in ways that do not undermine productive activities. Second is to encourage higher private savings as a source of loanable funds to support domestic credit and capital market and expand financial inclusion.
Host Finance Minister Ken Oforiatta says dealing with corruption in tax collection and enforcing laws to punish tax evaders are crucial moving forward.
Outright tax evasion, aggressive tax planning and avoidance delegitimizes the tax system and undermines the ability of government to raise revenue. Estimates point to about $50 to $70 billion of illicit movement from Africa annually, shifting primarily into Western economies. We need to look into this and restore some sanity into that.
Germany's ambassador to Ghana, Christoph Restlav, is excited about the progress being made with the G20 compact with Africa since its launch last year.
That's a unique chance now for Africa and for Ghana especially here. It's, I would say, the best initiative with regard to Africa we have seen in the last 10 or 20 years. But it's not self-fulfilling. We have all to work hard. It's not about sending money. It's not about writing checks. But it's about African countries doing more. It's about European countries doing more. So we have to combine our efforts. We have to do more and then we will be successful.
What is now left for these finance experts from Africa is to effectively execute the reforms discussed. That will be a challenging task, but one they seem committed to.
Isaac Kelechi with that report.
And Eddie, going back to our top story, Sierra Leone's opposition leader Julius Maada Bio has secured his first term in office after he was declared the winner of a runoff. So the opponent, Samora Kamara, says he's headed to court. And
exactly.
I can see there are so many comments coming in on our Facebook page. What are people saying?
Oh, a lot, Jane. You're right. Joseph Ari is saying that, well, congratulations, Mr. President. We are happy for you. All Africa needs from you is for you to implement all you promised your people. And do that, we will support you. Also, Janga Moha says, we, the new generation, need to change the gameplay in Africa. Strike against corruption and bad governance.
And we have this one from James Hotua. He says that now the ruling party is going to make Sierra Leone great again.
Exactly. Yeah, great again. It seems to be floating around. Every country wants to be great again.
Absolutely.
But I guess that's exactly the way to go, it seems. Well, we'll be joining you and we'll have more comments to share with you when we have the time for. Now, in case you just joined us, you're listening to Africa Link live on air and on Facebook. My name is Eddie Micah Jr.
And my name is Jen Nyinge. So please feel free to join us live with your comments, opinion and suggestions, and we'll read them, some of them, when we can.
Exactly.
So head to our Facebook page.
Definitely. Now we get straight into the news. The Gihembe refugee camp in northern Rwanda offers shelter for thousands of Congolese refugees who have escaped violence in their country. But not only shelter, the refugees in the camp have become successful entrepreneurs. They are able to do business such as tailoring, carpentry, catering, among others. Compared to other refugee camps, it is relatively easier to mingle with the locals and pursue one's dream.
Now, the refugees have the chance to put their acquired skills to use after securing loans from different local entrepreneurs. Andrew Wasike, who is based in Kenya, traveled to Rwanda and sent us this report.
I am at Gihembe refugee camp, which provides asylum for around 100,000 Congolese refugees fleeing from various bouts of violence that have rocked the Congo, located in Central Africa. The Congolese refugees here, like Eraste Obisho, a carpenter, mostly brave the cold waters off Lake Albert to reach the safe shores of Uganda and Rwanda. They all fled from their homeland with hopes of carving a better future. In Rwanda, refugees are allowed to do business among themselves and with the host community. At the camp, the surroundings are filled with lush green valleys and hills stretching as far as the eye can see. Unlike in other refugee camps where refugees are locked behind rounds of barbed wire, here, the host community benefits a great deal from the refugee camp. For instance, Obisho makes furniture in his shop, which he sells at the local market located some distance from the camp. This makes him self-sufficient and not heavily reliant on UNHCR's stipend, which most refugees have complained is not enough after being drastically reduced early this year. Obisho tells me that his life changed after he secured a startup loan from a local enterprise agency.
I make chairs, tables. I was trained on this skill by UNHCR in Kigali. I've been doing this business for 8 years. I have 4 children. 2 of them are in the university, and the other 2 I have employed here instead of them being here doing nothing. It is now a family business. The firstborn up there is called Elia, and the other one there, the secondborn, is called Erike.
Some ladies in the camp have also embraced jobs like tailoring, hairdressing, art, and design. Lucia Victory is a tailor.
I was trained on my skills by the UN and later secured a loan which acted as a startup capital for my business, and now my business is growing.
Obisho, who was a farmer, says that not all refugees are successful. Some are forced to take employment at a much lower scale than those they had back home. This includes doctors and accountants, he says. He adds that many Congolese refugees have an eye for business and are fast becoming successful entrepreneurs. Banis Kimasi, an economist, explains the ease of getting work permits in Rwanda.
There is a skills gap in the country that is acknowledged by the government, and it's important that businesses understand what their labor needs will be and confirm whether the market has an appropriate supply for the particular skills that they are looking for in the country. As the government acknowledges the skills gap, they have made it easy for jobs that are on the occupational demand list to get work permits. And so, provided the nature of the skills you're looking for are specialists and are genuinely in short supply in Rwanda, it should be possible to get work permits.
Andrew Wasike there in Nairobi, Kenya.
Speaking out. Human Rights Watch has released a new report detailing the hazardous conditions that children in Zimbabwe endure as they legally work on tobacco farms. Under Zimbabwe law, children as young as 12 can toil in tobacco fields, and many report symptoms consistent with acute nicotine poisoning.
Zimbabwe is the world's 6th largest tobacco producer, and the crop is the country's most valuable export commodity. Earlier, I spoke to Diwa Mahinga, the Southern Africa Director with the Africa Division at Human Rights. And first, I wanted to know why in this 21st century, children in Zimbabwe are still working in tobacco farms.
Child labour on tobacco farms in Zimbabwe is happening primarily because there are no laws and regulations prohibiting that from happening, and the government does not have sufficient numbers of labor inspectors to inspect the farms and prevent it, and also because of lack of awareness in terms of the farmers themselves, the families.
And what needs to be done to protect those working in those farms, especially the children?
We have spoken to the authorities in Zimbabwe and said clearly that children under the age of 18 should not come into contact with tobacco at all. So that is one way of protecting them, and this needs to be reflected in the laws and regulations of the country. And for adults working in tobacco fields, they need to have adequate protective clothing and also to ensure that they have got sufficient information and awareness on how to use protective clothing. We have also encouraged tobacco companies to ensure that their growers follow these regulations and that the government has got a vigorous and strict monitoring mechanism in place to ensure that they root out child labor and prevent children from doing hazardous work.
Now, is there any hope for things to change now that Zimbabwe has a new president, Emmerson Mnangagwa?
We have spoken to a number of ministers in President Emmerson Mnangagwa's government, including the Minister of Justice, who himself gave us a very vivid and moving account of how, as a child, he grew up on a tobacco family farm and experienced, you know, symptoms of nicotine poisoning in terms of sicknesses while working in the tobacco field. And he assured us that this was something that he would strongly support and that he accepted our recommendations. So now we are looking to the authorities to take the next important steps to deliver on those promises, particularly in amending the laws or repealing as appropriate to ensure that tobacco farming excludes children under the age of 18, and also that there are sufficient mechanisms for monitoring to prevent child labor on tobacco farms.
And how easy is it to change those laws?
The process of the amendment of laws is underway. You will recall that we have a new constitution from 2018, and the government was already in a process of aligning all the laws to the new constitution. So we have been assured that that review process is underway and our recommendations will be under consideration. So we'll be monitoring closely to ensure that we have the right laws, but also we are pushing the Ministry of Labour and Social Welfare to ensure that it has got more labour inspectors. At the moment, it only has 120 labour inspectors to cover the entire Zimbabwe country. So we need more to plug the gaps and loopholes and to root out child labor on tobacco farm.
Dewa Mahinga, the Southern Africa Director with the Africa Division of Human Rights Watch. A very sad situation there, Eddie, in Zimbabwe, where children are still working in tobacco farms.
Exactly, and we've seen already how dangerous it is for these young kids.
Absolutely.
The only challenge there, Jane, is that it is part of the Zimbabwe law. So clearly the challenge or the problem is with the law, and most believe that it has to be changed because children as young as that should be in school, studying,
yes,
and
indeed,
adding value to their lives.
Views on.
We move on. Zambia has a rich music tradition that has evolved over several decades around the country's 72 ethnic tribes. Now, this gives the local entertainment industry a variety of music genres from Kalindula, Zamrock and Manchancha to today's local version of hip-hop and Afropop. The music industry has become a key employer among the Zambian youth, contributing millions of dollars to the country's national coffers.
Now, there has also been an increase in high-quality young female artists who have defied the odds and have become household names in a male-dominated industry. Our correspondent, Kathy Short, spoke to a multi-award-winning female recording artist, commonly known as Kantu, in Lusaka, Zambia.
Baby, This is one of Kantu's popular songs entitled Mungeli, in which she speaks about a child's innocence after being born out of wedlock, saying the child is an angel and not a mistake. Kantu is arguably one of Zambia's most influential female artists and is revered for her vocal prowess and lively stage presence. She is a singer, songwriter, and ambassador of the Triple V campaign that encourages youths to vote during elections. She is also an activist for young women and girls. I asked her how she describes herself.
She's an educationist. She loves to advocate for women and to speak for women, young girls. And she just loves to be with people and to have young kids look up to me and send me messages or even come to me and say, you inspire me and stuff like that. I think that's what really drives me now.
So, what motivated her to start music?
Growing up, I was bullied a lot. I was bullied to a point where I lost my self-esteem and I felt like the world would be better off without me. But then at some point, I told myself that I was going to be someone that everyone is going to watch on TV and listen to on radio.
Being in a male-dominated industry like music also comes with its own challenges, as Kantu explains.
You get to be labeled a lot. People don't really get to see how much effort and how much work you put into your craft. It's very, very difficult, really, to be prominent in a male-dominated industry. You don't get to be respected as much as people would actually respect a male artist.
Renowned Zambian music producer Rado Maloa of Digital X Records had nothing but praise for the artist. He has worked with Kantu on some of her hit records.
She's got this heart to do, you know, music that touches hearts out there, music that can speak for the people that can't speak for themselves. She's got that type of music and she's got that type of vibe. And every time we would work on records, she would always think about how would people respond to this kind of message and how would people think about me once I do this song. So she has that figure that most female artists don't have.
Cindy, we mistake, my little one. Cindy, we mistake, hey little one, diwe mungeli.
I could not let Kantu go without singing a solo a cappella here.
You are a product of love. Diwe mungeli, mungeli from up, up, above. Diwe mungeli, you are a product of love.
Kathy Sikumbi with that report.
And that lady has a really lovely voice.
Can you do that?
Yes, I can.
Jane, can you sing?
But don't try me on air.
I won't try you on air. But Jane, I think it's only right that we acknowledge some of our live listeners on Facebook. Tejan Mustafa, you've given us a thumbs up. Thumbs up back to you. Also, Janga Moha. Who else is listening?
We have Sunnyside Nuosu Obina. Mm-hmm. And he says, hello.
Hello back to you. Also, Wally GH. You are laughing out loud, so I don't know if it's because of the singing thing or the fact that Jane Shetty can sing, so I'm not sure about that. We don't believe you, Jane. Anyway, let's move on because we did say we received a lot of comments. Now, on our Facebook page, we did post this. Ghana's Vice President, Dr. Mahamadou Bawumia, said, going beyond aid is an inevitable conversation, and we can choose to confront it now or choose to postpone it at our peril. And of course, he was speaking during the second meeting of the G20 Compact with Africa. So we asked, what do you think of his statement?
And we got lots of comments. Tawani Ifedi says it has been proven that aid can't help Africa because they always come with conditions that are more than that aid.
Exactly. Well, Mark Olaniyi says, he's from Nigeria, says the Ghana vice president seems to be speaking to the real world from utopia realm. So it's more like it's just talk is what he's trying to say. Interesting one.
And we have this one from Kanjo Etienne. He's in Cameroon and says, Ghana's vice president said the above only to turn around and sell off Ghana to the U.S. You
Final
come from
one.
Ghana.
I'm from Ghana. So what do I think of it? You know, I'm not into talk. Let's walk the talk. You know, there's so much talk, Africa beyond aid, but what are the individual countries doing, you know, to make that happen? So, well, we'll see how it goes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all time will permit us on today's edition of Africa Link. I'm Eddie Micah Jr.
And my name is Jen Nyinge. Thank you so much for joining us.